Well, today the makeup of the Senate could drastically change come the next election as the government and Greens finally pass their voting reform bill today. Now voters will be able to direct preferences above the line instead of just going through the laborious process of numbering every single square down the bottom. Crossbench minor party senators joined with the Labour Party to delay the vote for up to 28 hours before it passed. Queensland Senator and former NRL star Glenn Lazarus is one of those facing the brave new world.
Look, I'm optimistic. I try to travel around Queensland as much as I can, and I get great feedback. I'm well received, but at the end of the day, that may or may not transform into votes. I guess the people of Queensland will be the people that ultimately decide that. I'm optimistic, I got to say. I'm very determined to work hard as I can to be re-elected with the Glenn Lazarus team and with Kerrod Walters on board. So at the end of the day, the people of Queensland are going to decide my fate.
It's been quite a rowdy and rancorous debate, with insults being hurled from all sides. Labor Senator Doug Cameron quoting Monty Python, saying that he farts in the general direction of his opponents. That was one of them. And it wasn't without its stunts either, with Nick Xenophon seen in rather loud pyjamas in the Senate corridors. In case you were wondering what it's all about, though, the crossbench are worried the changes will technically allow voters to just put one above the line and will increase the votes of the major parties and disenfranchise them. The Greens in the government, though, say it's about voter choice and eliminating situations where voters' preferences end up going to people whose policies they don't agree with. Glenn Drury, also known as the preference whisperer for his role in doing minor party voting deals, says minor parties will all but be excluded under this new system.
Say you don't want to vote for the Greens or the Liberal Party or the Labor Party, and you want to vote for small parties. Well, in the past, you could do so, and your vote would trickle all the way down until hopefully it stopped with somebody, certainly in recent times, and that minor party would be elected. Let's say you go through six minor parties, and, well, it's very likely that none of them will get elected now, and those hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people who wish to do that, well, they will be effectively disenfranchised, and their vote will just exhaust.
Yeah, but people don't just vote for any minor party, right? They vote for a minor party that actually aligns with their political points of view and their interests. Isn't that the problem with the current system, is that their vote goes to someone whom they don't actually agree with?
Well, the current system is optional preferential. We left the group voting tickets.
The previous system,
ago.
Sorry.
Sorry, I'm being a jerk. But the previous system was by no means perfect. But what we've done, what we've seen here is self-interest on part of the Greens and the Liberal Party and Xenophon, because they're the ones who will benefit from this, self-interest on their part, and it will disenfranchise many, many voters, and they are simply the facts, and that's what's going to happen.
The major parties and the Greens have been talking about Senate voting reform for years now. Ben Rowey runs the election analysis blog The Tally Room. He says there have been many proposals in the past, but all have failed.
So we've had group voting tickets in the Senate since 1984, and they were first introduced because we've had proportional representation in the Senate since the late 1940s, but by the 1980s there was a large number of people voting informally because you had to number every box for every single candidate. So they introduced group voting tickets as a way to let people vote really easily, and it did have a big impact on lowering the informal vote. But since the 1990s, we've been seeing a growth in the number of parties and candidates running. And yeah, in the past, the major parties have tried other ways to cut back on the number of parties running, to try and simplify the ballot. Before the last election, they actually doubled the size of nomination fees. And that meant that if you wanted a box above the line for a Senate race in one state, you would need to pay a $4,000 deposit and an additional $2,000 for every additional candidate. So that was a lot of money, and it was a complete failure. The last election, we saw the number of parties running doubled, and the number of candidates in both houses increased significantly. So it was a complete failure in the sense that maybe it stopped some genuine campaigners from nominating, but there were plenty of rich people and groups that could find rich people who were able to afford the increased nomination fee. There has been talk about making it harder to register a political party, because if you register a political party, you then have the right to nominate candidates wherever you want around the country. Whereas if you're an independent, you need someone to sign, you need 100 people in your electorate to sign your nomination form. So there were suggestions that they would make it harder to register a party. At the moment, you need 500 people to register a party, and they were talking about making it more like 1,500 and also making it so that there's more procedures to determine if those people have actually joined your party, because at the moment it's kind of like signing a petition. It's not very rigorous. So that was proposed. That was actually proposed as part of the parliamentary committee that looked into this issue in 2014, but it was a thing that the Greens didn't support, and when the legislation finally came up, that idea had been dropped. So that's the other big one, but there has also been a bunch of ideas that have been floated over the years for ways to solve the current situation that would have probably had the effect of locking out minor parties. The biggest one that's been suggested, which I've heard recently from people like Anthony Albanese and Ross Gittins, is that you would set a threshold, and any party that didn't get over a threshold, maybe it's 2%, 4%, in the past it's been suggested as high as 10%, if that party doesn't get over that threshold, they get excluded and their preferences get distributed. And that would mean that any parties on a low vote would basically become ineligible to get anyone elected.
So that was Ben Rowie from the election analysis blog, The Tally Room, speaking there about Senate voting reform.